Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, it's about that time of the year when just about everybody who's going to graduate has graduated. Colleges, universities graduated, and high schools last week, and even St. John's School and Kindergarten had graduations recently. And it's time that we're happy about that. That students are moving on into the future and have accomplished many goals. But we pray for them because the world is full of temptation. And there's a lot of temptation for young people out there, teenagers. And it's a great day when they graduate from high school and go on to college or career because they've made it through many obstacles and are becoming productive citizens. But one concern is that in many churches, including this one, many kids drop out of going to church during those high school years or shortly afterward. This has been going on for so long that we just kind of accept it. We kind of think, oh, well, that happens, and maybe they'll come back later. And it's kind of like the frog in the kettle, you know. It's going on so long and more that we don't realize the seriousness of it. And of course, some do come back to church after they get married and have children, but many do not. This morning, I want to address the seriousness of this problem. And I like to do it this way. If, through some contest, you received a free airline ticket to fly anywhere in the world for you and your family, any place you wanted to go, all expenses paid, and you went out to the airport, and there at O'Hare Airport were 20 airplanes lined up, ready to take you anywhere. You just choose one. But just before you got on board, someone came over and said, well, I just want you to know that 5 of these planes are never going to reach their destination. That's just 25%. They're not going to make it. They're going to crash. Now, you're there with your bags packed. Would you get on board any of those airplanes? Would you let your children get on board any of those airplanes if 5 out of 20 were going to crash? No, we don't take risks like that, do we? That's much too dangerous. And yet, about a quarter of the children raised in this congregation, and most others like it, in fact, worse in some cases, will not continue to attend worship services by the time they graduate from high school. Regularly, maybe Christmas and Easter and, you know, other days when the family goes, Mother's Day, you know. But I mean regularly, like that they were raised to each Sunday. Your child's faith in Jesus as Savior is not something that you want to take chances with. Because we're not just talking about whether they're going to be a productive citizen, whether they're going to get a job and so forth. We're talking about whether they're going to be in the kingdom of heaven forever, or they're going to be in hell. Why does this happen? You know, we have a lot of things that we do together as a congregation to ensure our children learn the faith. We have Sunday school that take place here in just a few moments. We have confirmation classes with the pastor. We have youth events, vacation Bible school. And this congregation is blessed with a fine Christian day school and a lot of people dedicated to educating children in the Christian faith. Much effort is given, but the results are unacceptable. We may be overlooking something very basic in all of the activity that we do carry on in the congregation. You see, the Bible does not command us to do many of the things that we do. It does not say you must have a Sunday school, you must have a Christian day school, you must have an exciting youth program. It doesn't make demands on the Christian church in that way. But we did read today in the Old Testament reading one important mandate. Do you remember what it was? It does lay down one important commandment. It says, that parents are the greatest teachers of the faith that a person can ever have. Listen to God's word again from Deuteronomy chapter 11. God says, "You shall therefore lay these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. This is the way that God intended the faith to be passed along in families, from parents to children. Parents were to teach God's word to their children by talking about it throughout the day, the beginning of the day when you get up in the morning, and again at night when you go to bed, and every time in between." Now, if you don't have any time like this in your home, any time for prayer or family devotions of a meaningful way, now is the very time to start, especially you people with the little children. I mean, on the arms and 4 or 5 years old or a little bit older, those elementary years. Because meeting together as a family each day to read a Bible story and to pray is so important for your children's spiritual formation. Next to bringing your kids to church with you each Sunday, you know, week after week, I believe this is the most important way, the most important key to establishing a lifelong faith in someone, because it comes not from the pastor or some other professional or volunteer, but it comes from you, the person whom God gave the child to raise, if you're a parent. Now, I know that this seems complicated because many of us have never done this. We might say a prayer at a mealtime, or a prayer as we tuck our children in bed. But it's really simple. In fact, we tried to make it even easier for you. You might check the family altar section of today's folder for suggestions. Or a devotion book such as My Devotions or Portals of Prayer, available for free here. And I think what's really key, though, is start when your children are real young. Toddlers, you know, they're bouncing on your knee. And kindergarten. That's a time to read from a Bible storybook, something with pictures. And say a simple prayer for the concerns of your family and the things that are going on in the life of your child. Pray out loud for your children. That's how they learn to pray. Just as we learn to talk from our parents, we also learn to communicate with our Maker that way. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, what I'm talking about here doesn't have to be long and drawn out and take, you know, half an hour or something. Just a couple of minutes when those kids are young. But be sure to take the time to do it. And as your children get older, introduce them to the catechism, as we just sang about it in the hymn. They should be learning that for confirmation as they get in those late elementary and middle school years. In this way, these simple ways, your children will be learning the faith from you, first of all. And then they'll go see the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the midweek school teacher, as your helper. And they will help you to impress the faith on your child. All of this is done so that they may continue to trust and know the God who sent his Son into the world to redeem our lives and restore us to him. Then we have this basic grounding in our life. Our identity is a Christian identity from toddler age on up, and we can serve the Lord the rest of our lives. Now, I know some of you have done this, and your children have grown up, and we don't see them at church. And that's just to go to say that there are no guarantees in raising children to continue in the faith. That's very painful when our children grow up and kind of go their own way. God knows what that's like. He's mourning them with you. But these key practices are important to children who remain lifelong Christians. You know, you can't afford to neglect taking the lead in the education of your children. Just like they say, oh, well, you can't afford not to get your child in the best school possible, or to spend quality time with them, or take them on vacation. You know, that bond is so important. Well, how much more important is this? Our children probably won't thank us, you know, for doing this. Just as they won't thank us for saying, no matter how long as you're in our house, we're going to be going to church on Sunday morning if you live in our house, because we are a Christian family. They probably won't thank you until they see you in the kingdom of heaven. But we don't do it because of the thanks. We don't do it because it makes us feel good. We do it because someone's eternal salvation is depending on us to guide them in this life. And that's why God put them into our homes. Now, you can be glad that there are some things that you don't have to do. God commanded his Old Testament people to write the word of God on the sides of their doors to remind them. You don't have to do that. Better yet, you don't have to put scripture in little boxes, phylacteries they used to call it, and tie it on your head and in your hair so that you could have the word of God around you at all times. Think of what that would do to modern hair fashions for women. You don't have to do that. God said that this was a reminder to them, remind them who they were. Now that Christ has fulfilled these ceremonial laws for us, we are free from the burden of having to keep them. But their principle is important now more than ever. Putting the word of God in our hearts in this way, by simply talking about it when we get up in the morning and when we go to bed at night and walk along the way, keeps us with Christ. Like God said to his Old Testament people, we are under a blessing and a curse. If we keep God's word in our hearts, then we are blessed to have Christ with us. Learning the Ten Commandments is very important for every Christian, because when we break a commandment, our conscience leads us to recognize that, because we have heard that word of God. We have learned it from our parents. And we know enough to repent, that is, to express our sorrow, our heartfelt sorrow to God and to whoever we sinned against, and to seek God's forgiveness and that other person's. The Bible then presents Jesus as taking all of our sins upon himself and taking them to the cross and then declaring us to be without sin, and we have God's blessing on us. But if we do not have God's word upon our hearts, then this does not happen. We easily fall away from faith and we're lost to God. We are cursed. And then we end up following other gods. Greed, lust, ambition, pleasure, you name it, whatever it could be, whatever your weakest part is, that will be your God. And we'll be offering our lives up to it. That's not something you want to happen to you or any member of your family. Jesus said, anyone who hears his word and puts it into practice is like a man who built his house up on a rock, on solid ground. The rains came and the rivers rose against the house, but it stood firm because it had that foundation. That's God's promise to you. His word will be that for you and for your children and for your children's children. That's his promise. Build your life, your family's life, on the rock of Christ and his word. Spend time in those formative years teaching your children by reading to them the precious word of truth. And when they're old enough, ask them to read it to you. In this way, we pass on this faith, this blessed faith, from one generation to the next. Will your kids stay Christian? We can't see the future, can we? But the best assurance is to teach them God's word while they're young. Again, it doesn't start in the eighth grade, doesn't start in the seventh grade. It begins in the cradle and it continues until they leave your home. And then they're doing it for themselves. Teach them with words, with actions, with daily rituals. This is the example of Scripture. God promises great blessings for all who build their homes on the rock of his word, upon Christ, the solid ground. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.